Well, good morning again. Let me just echo what others have said and just let you know we are glad that you are here this morning. If you are a guest, let me, by the way, in case y'all haven't noticed, we're having a little trouble with our sound system today. That kind of comes and goes periodically, but you tune in and let God do something for your life today, so that will be just fine. We are glad that you are here. If you're a guest, I want to meet you. Okay, I want to be able to talk with you for just a moment, and I do. I have a free gift that I want to give for you. It is not as exciting, perhaps, as a $20 Cabela's gift card, but it depends on what it is that you like. But I would love to be able to meet you, so please take a moment and say hello. And if you have not yet filled out that connection card, we would love for you to do that, because that is your gateway to everything that Five Forks Baptist Church has to offer for your family. And we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to share that with you. Well, we are in the beginning of this series. This is now part 3 of this series called New Beginnings, where we're just going through. We've got a lot of new things right now. It's a new year. We're looking at some new spiritual disciplines. Y'all have a new pastor. We have these new things that are going on. And so we want to take just a moment and we want to look at some of the things that we ought to be doing, maybe that are new in your life. So last week, we looked at a new beginning with your Bible and how to use the Word of God for all that it is worth in your life, an incredible treasury of all that you need to live the life that God has required you to live in His Word. So we talked about that last week. This week, we're going to be talking about, you heard it in some of the songs that were sung, we're going to be talking about prayer today. Wouldn't it be fascinating if you had the opportunity to make a call that could decide the Super Bowl or who was going to the Super Bowl? That's actually what you see up here. That call was from last year. That was a disputed call that wound up sending the Rams to the Super Bowl, but there were a lot of people who believed that the Saints ought to have been there. You know, just the whole situation of making that call. What would it be like to make that call? Now, some of you say, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near making that kind of call. But then other people say, oh yeah, I would love to be in a position where I could make that call that could influence families for a lifetime, that can influence millions of dollars, that can influence the dream of one athlete and help them achieve it, actually destroy the dream of another one. Well, for most of us, probably just about all of us, we're not going to be in a position to make that kind of critical call. But you can make a call. You can make a call today that will actually change the world. It will change your world and the lives of the people around you and have an eternal impact. And that is the call to pray. In one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, here's what God tells us. Now, this is interesting because if you're a kind of person who memorizes Scripture, and I encourage you to be, this is a great verse to memorize. It comes to us from Jeremiah 33:3. It's in your bulletin. If you open it up, you're going to see it written there. You see it on the screen here. If you're following along digitally, smartphone or tablet, you've got the digital link at the bottom of your notes for this as well. But here's what God says. He says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. Now, we're talking about prayer, so we would be remiss if we did not pray. Let's take a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. While we're praying, I'd like for this to not be a spectator event. So, while I'm praying, if you could pray, that would be great. Ask the Lord to bless this service. I'm also going to be including our soldiers and sailors and airmen who are around the world right now who are obviously on heightened alert as well. And I'd encourage you to pray along as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that tells us the impact that some of our words can have. Thank you for the ability and the privilege of prayer. Thank you for what it can mean in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Lord, we're going to see some important things today. I pray that you'll help us to take them for all that they are worth, to have a prayer life that becomes rich and meaningful. And Lord, I pray right now for our soldiers, for our sailors, for our airmen who are across the globe serving this country. Lord, I pray first and foremost for their safety, that you will watch over them, that you will keep them safe today. Father, I pray that you will be at work in the lives of our governmental officials to make good and wise decisions that sometimes wind up influencing them. And Lord, I pray that your presence will be near to them so that they recognize you. And if they haven't turned to you, that they turn to you today. Father, I thank you for everybody who has served, perhaps who's in this building today. Thank you for that. Bless them today. Help us as we make the call, the most important call that we can make, the call to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If I told you I had a telephone line that was direct to God, that I could take this phone today, right now, and I could just dial him up, put him on speakerphone, put him up to the microphone, and y'all could hear God talk. And then if you had a particular question you wanted to ask him, tonight in Awana, I'm going to be doing an ask the pastor kind of a thing. So they're going to be coming in with some good questions for me. But what if you had asked God, and you could just ask God any question that you wanted to on that telephone, and he would answer that question? I think that telephone would be priceless. I think people would line up for hours and hours and even days to be able to wait in line just to talk to God. I heard one time about a pastor at a certain church who had took out his smartphone during a children's message and said, "Hey, kids, just like you can get out your telephone and talk to God, you talk to people on the telephone, but you don't see who's on the other end, right?" And the kids are like, "Yeah, right." And he says, "Well, talking to God is just like talking on the telephone. He's on the other end, but you can't see him, but he's listening." And another boy pulled out a smartphone that he had and said, "What's his number? I'll add it to my contacts." You know, we know, though, prayer is actually the hotline to heaven. And the minute you pick up your end, God picks up his end and is listening to you. I think this verb is so appropriate when he says, "Call to me." With God, you are literally closer than a phone call away when you pray. Closer than that. In this simple little verse, I want to give you three undeniable reasons why you ought to pray today. You've got some blanks in your notes page that'll go along with this as well. First thing I want you to see loud and clear is that God hears prayer. God hears prayer. Listen to the text. It says, "Call to me." God would never ask us to call to him if he wasn't going to listen. You can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do any more than pray before you have prayed. Now, in the Hebrew language here, this verse, that's the language this verse was originally written in, this is in the imperative mood. That means it is a command. God isn't saying, "Hey, it'd be nice if you could pray." God isn't saying, "Oh, do you think you could squeeze in some time and pray?" God isn't saying, "I wish that you would pray." It is a command and a demand. I want you to understand, when you refuse to exercise the privilege of prayer, it isn't just a weakness. It's a wickedness. It isn't just a shame. It's a sin. A great man once said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer. It is unoffered prayer." Now, you may have never thought about prayerlessness as sin before, but I want you to understand what the Bible says. It says, "I will surely not stop praying for you, because that would be sinning against the Lord. I will teach you what is good and right." I know we've been told that sin angers God, and I believe that that is the case. But I think this might even be a sin that amazes God. I think God finds it so hard to believe that we find it so hard to believe God. In fact, it's a little bit amazing to me that God has to command us to pray. When you are sick, do you have to be commanded to go to the doctor? No, you don't. You don't have to command people to go to a restaurant when they're hungry. You're going to leave this place and probably go to a lot of different restaurants in the area. Nobody's going to have to command you to do that. When people go to a theater, you don't have to command them to be entertained. They go willingly to do it. But God commands us to pray. There is a tremendous statement about God and prayer in the book of Psalms. And here's what it says. It tells us, "O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come." God hears prayer. I want you to mark it down, write it at the top of your notes. If you write notes in your Bible, write it down here in big, bold letters. God hears prayer. He does. I was doing a little bit of study this week, and I saw this interesting thing about Voyager 2. That spacecraft was launched over 38 years ago, 41 total years that it has been in space. After 10 years of travel, it went past Jupiter onto Neptune. It has now traveled 18.5 billion miles. Wow, that is amazing. It sends back messages. When it sends back those messages, those are really amazing. They travel 16 hours and 36 minutes. That's the amount of time it takes for a message to get from it all the way back to Earth. And when it's picked up here at Earth, it's picked up on the faintest of moonbeams, essentially. It's a radio signal that is so weak, it is 10 quadrillionths of a watt. And it takes 38 giant radio antennas on four different continents to pick up and be able to piece together each one of Voyager's messages. But it hits you when you look at this incredible technology that every time you close your eyes and you pray to the God of heaven, it is instantly transported above the universe. And God himself is listening. Scientist Sir Isaac Newton, one of the first people to create a telescope, said this. He says, "I can take my telescope and look millions of miles into space, but I can go away to my room and get on my knees and in prayer get nearer to the God of heaven than when assisted by all the telescopes on Earth." The exciting part about prayer is that you have communication with the God of the universe. It's not just what we say, but it's who we say it to. Listen to the verse again. He says, "Call to me." When you pray, you talk directly to God. You don't get the head angel. You don't get his assistant. You don't talk to a secretary. You don't get a phone tree. You talk directly to the God of the universe. You don't have to make an appointment months in advance to do it. You don't have to wait outside an office for hours. When you pray, you are ushered into the very throne room of God right at that point. So what do you talk to God about? That's a good question. Sometimes we get the idea, oh, I need to talk to God about the big stuff, the little stuff, stuff in my everyday life. God's not particularly interested in that. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that isn't little to God? He's the infinite being above the universe. Everything in your life is little, but he wants to hear each and everything about it so that he can work in your life in a big way. When can you talk to God? Anytime. Where can you talk to God? Any place. You know what you can talk to God about? Anything. God hears prayer. But I want you to know also that God heeds prayer. God heeds prayer. "Call to me and I will answer you. It doesn't say, I might answer you, or I may answer you, or it depends on whether or not I'm busy, or I could answer. He says, I will answer you. Does God answer prayer? Absolutely, he does. Now, a lot of times when people ask that question, does God answer prayer? Really more of the question that they're asking is, how does God answer prayer? You know, how come I asked God for something and it didn't happen? Sometimes you'll hear that. God answers prayers in different ways. Actually, four different ways that we can kind of determine through Scripture. So the way God answers prayers, four different words: go, slow, no, and whoa. Okay? So, first of all, go. Sometimes God gives you an answer, yeah, absolutely, yes, right now. He answers it affirmatively. He answers it immediately. Now, sometimes our problem is we're so selfish that this is the only kind of answer we want to get from God. We get the idea that if God doesn't answer our prayers immediately and affirmatively, that he hasn't answered our prayer. But that's not true. Sometimes God answers with go, but sometimes God gives a slow answer. Sometimes he says yes, but not right now. God not only wants to give you what is best for you, he wants to give it to you when it is best for you. I want you to remember this about God. God always answers prayer on schedule, but it is God's schedule and not our schedule. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Sometimes God gives you a go. Sometimes he gives you a slow. Sometimes God gives you a no answer. I want to be very honest with you all today. I am embarrassed to tell you about some of the prayers that I have prayed that God said no to. If God had answered some of the prayers that I had prayed, my wife and I just this week celebrated 22 years of marriage. And if God had answered some of the prayers that I had prayed, I would never have married the greatest woman in the world, Cara Barnett. I would never have preached one message as a vocational pastor if God had answered some of the prayers that I had prayed early on in my life. I would never have the privilege of pastoring a great church like Five Forks Baptist Church if God had answered some of the prayers early in my life. Never get the idea that because God says no, that it means that there's something wrong in your life. It may be because there is something right in your life, and God just is excited for you to be able to see it and to give it to you. Then sometimes God gives you that whoa answer. In other words, sometimes God says, I'm going to answer your prayer, but I'm going to give you something better than what you had asked for, better than what you wanted. I remember one time hearing Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, say, if God had answered my prayer, I would have married the wrong man three different times. That's interesting. God may not always answer your prayer in the way that you want him to answer it, but he always answers prayer because God hears prayer, God heeds prayer, and God honors prayer. God honors prayer. The text goes on to say, and I will tell you great and incomprehensible things you don't know. It says in the message this, I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you can never figure out on your own. Now you can learn a really good lesson here if you go to what we call the original Hebrew in this, and why God wants to talk to you the way he wants to talk to you. When you look at that little word, tell, and tell you great and incomprehensible things. That word, it's a Hebrew word, negad. That's what that little thing is right there. And it means to expose, to unveil, or to reveal. So, bow down, and I pray, and I talk to God, and I get up and leave, and God does not talk to me. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. God wants us to pray so that he can show us things and tell us things that there is no other way we could learn other than through prayer. I read an interesting article one time from Patty Reagan. She was Ronald Reagan's daughter. And she was telling a story one time about her father, and she said this: he did have something special with God. He talked to God all the time. It didn't mean that he was any more special in God's eyes or that he believed that. We're all special to God. It's not that God was speaking to anybody more than anybody else. It's that some people choose to listen and talk back. Then she says, my father just talked to God. And that's what I got as a child. I got that he talked to God all the time. He just had conversations with God. When we would go horseback riding at the Malibu Ranch, I knew the way to get him to talk was to have a conversation about him talking with God. Sometimes he would just look at me and say, I just asked God about that the other day, and this is what he said back to me. That's what real prayer is. It's not just that we talk to God, but God talks back to us. He not only wants your heart, he wants your ear. So how does God talk to us? Well, that's an interesting question. Here's what we always say. God can do anything that he wants to do, but we shouldn't expect him to do anything more than he has said that he would do. So God can talk to you in any number of ways, but he has said that he will talk to you through his word. And we believe this is the primary way that God speaks to you, is through the opening of his word and the revealing of messages that come from that word of God. So if you want to know the word of God, do you want to hear God speak? Open up your Bible and read it. Do you want to hear him speak audibly? Read it out loud and you'll hear it. You will hear the voice of God speaking to you when that happens. So when he says, I will tell you things, I will expose, I will reveal, I will unveil things that you didn't know before. What kind of things? The text also says, tell you great and incomprehensible things you didn't know. That word incomprehensible, that's also an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word, batsar. And it refers to a fortress that is around a city. Literally translated, it means the things that are fenced in, the things that have a barrier or a guardian around them, the things that not just everybody can walk in and experience, the things that are guarded. In other words, when we pray, God will show us things that are inaccessible to anybody but him. Maybe you want to know the answer to something right now, and you've asked around, and nobody seems to have the answer. I encourage you, go to God in prayer. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. So in other words, the secret things, the hidden things, belong to God. And if you want to know those secret things, those hidden things, then go to God and ask him. There are certain things that God is willing and able to reveal to us if we come to him in prayer. Make sure you understand this. There are things that God will do in your life whether you pray or not. But there are some things that God will only do in your life in response to the prayers of his people. There are things that God will do in Five Forks Baptist Church whether we pray or not. But there are some God supernatural things that will only happen in response to the prayers of the people of Five Forks Baptist Church getting on their knees before God saying, God, help us be the church that you've called us to be. The greatest knowledge you can ever have is the will of God. The will of God for your life. A lot of times people ask me about success. Success, my definition of success, is finding and doing the will of God in your life. Very simply, if you want to know what success is, it is finding God's will and doing it in your life. And sometimes, the only way to know that is prayer. The greatest person you can ever know is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never know the heart of Jesus apart from prayer. The greatest book you will ever read is the Word of God. You will never understand it apart from prayer. I like to read books by a guy named Joe Stowell. Joe Stowell is the president of Cornerstone Seminary. And he has written a whole lot of books, and he was talking one time in one of his books about sitting down in Tampa, and he had had a lunch with Billy Graham, and there were several other people around the table, and so he got to pick Billy Graham's brain about some things, and one of the questions that he asked him is, what is the greatest time in your ministry? Of all the things you were able to do in ministry, what did you enjoy the most? And then he said, it's interesting because before Billy Graham even had a chance to answer, I found myself answering for him. And he said, maybe it's the times you've been with presidents of the United States or heads of state, or maybe it was the time you preached to millions of people via television and satellites. But he said, Billy Graham interrupted him and said this, beyond a doubt, what I have enjoyed more than anything else in all of my years has been my fellowship with the Lord. To be able to talk with Him, to hear from Him, and to have His guidance in my presence, in my life, has been my greatest joy. How amazing is that? Well, you don't have to be Billy Graham to make the call to heaven. A call that God always hears, God always heeds, and God always honors. But you know, the most important call you will ever make in your life is when you call on Jesus to save you. The Bible says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise from God. You know, I can promise you a lot of things, and I try to be a person who keeps my word and keeps my promises. But more than me promising you, He promises you. He says, if you will turn from your sin and your own way of trying to make life work, and you will trust Jesus alone to save you, He has promised you heaven. He has promised you His presence in your life every day to give you guidance and peace and direction, and He has promised you, you will never be alone again. From the time you come to faith in Jesus, you'll never be alone from that moment on. Jesus, calling on Him, is the greatest call of your life. Are you ready to make that call? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll talk with you again for just a moment longer. Father, thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you for what it means in our lives as we are in a world where we are seeking your direction and desiring to know what you want us to do. It is so great to know that we have this method, this opportunity, this communication to be able to find answers to the deepest questions of the human experience. Thank you for prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Just remain seated for a moment. I'll ask you to stand here in a second, but for right now, just remain seated. In just a moment, I am going to ask you to do something, and I understand it's going to take great courage. Generally speaking, people don't like being up in front of other people. I understand that. So you say, Pastor Tim, why do you give what's called a public invitation so that people come down when they make decisions for Jesus? Because everybody Jesus ever called, He called publicly. He asked them to come to Him publicly. And so that's what we ask you to do today as well. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. We'll all be standing. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, make your way into one of the four aisles that we have here, come down to the front, and simply say this, "Pastor Tim, I need Jesus." And it would be our privilege to share with you how you can know Jesus as your personal Savior. The most important call you will ever make is calling on Jesus to save you. That would be our privilege today. We'd love to talk with you. Maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe you say, "I need to be more of a person of prayer, and I just want to come and pray that God will help me, that He'll prompt me, that He'll help me to remember to pray, and then He will give me my own personal prayer list that I can begin writing down." Maybe you need to come to the prayer time that takes place on Tuesday mornings at 9. Maybe you need to come to prayer service and pray more corporately. Maybe you need to just get alone with your family and pray for some needs that are pressing in on your life right now. If God's speaking to you, I want to ask you to come too. Maybe there's a need I haven't touched on. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, what we talk about sometimes. Maybe you need to join this place. Make this your place of ministry and your place of service by saying, "I want to make Five Forks Baptist Church my church." You have the opportunity to come for that today as well. Whatever that need is in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand now. And don't wait for somebody else. Don't say, "Well, if somebody else comes, I'll come." If God's speaking to you right now as we sing, you come.